And if you would remain standing, Jim is going to come read us for our scripture, and then following him, Pastor Ed is going to preach for you this morning. He's on our congregational team and is our mentor here, a man of great experience in ministry. So, Ed, good to have you with us today.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. Let us listen to the word of God with our ears, our minds, and our hearts. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Now Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came unto him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. Isn't it good to be here today? Isn't it good to be alive? I knew I'd get a response on that. It's good to be alive, good to be here today, to experience each other, the wonderment of God moving in this building and in this place. It's good to say that we are part of the family of God. On last week, Pastor Jeff very eloquently led us on a journey of success, a journey that embodied both sorrow and woe, a journey that allowed us to see the vicissitudes and the agony of a preacher prophet. This journey involved Elijah. Elijah was the kind of preacher I think all of us would like. He was short, had short sermons. He didn't say much. And of course, when he did, persons heard him and listened to him. He was almost a spiritually introvert, sensing and knowing the powerful presence of God. But this is also a lesson about our ability to trust God, so that when we fall down, we get up. It's about trusting God and allowing his power and his presence to pick us up when we find ourselves in dire difficulties. It's about trusting God. It's about making mountains disappear. It's about valleys. It's about disappointments and disappointments becoming opportunities. This narrative lends itself to all of the gracious possibilities God has given to each of us. We fall down, but we get up. We're up against the wall, but we are covered by grace, and we are able to sense his wonderment. Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, preaching all kind of nonsense in the kingdom. Remember now, Elijah was called the troubler of Israel. There was not a time. Now, one of the things you got to know, my voice is almost gone, but there's something in my spirit that peps me up, amen. I wish I could have just passed this on to Pastor Jeff and allowed him to do this last sermon this weekend. But I'm going to look for you for energy and strength. Amen, Miss Mary? Amen. 450 prophets of Baal wanting to harm and do harm to the kingdom. You know that story. Elijah says to them, "The God who answers by fire shall be the God that we serve." Long story short, he answered their prayers, and every prophet was slain by the sword. You would think that someone as successful as Elijah would be swelling with a celebrative tone, would be all in himself. But wait a minute. This guy just won. He was victorious. The vicissitudes did not overtake him. But in that second verse, let's hear what it says. Jezebel. You know that name, don't you? Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, who talked a lot. You see, I had to quickly change that, didn't I? Jezebel, loose lips, said to King Ahab, after Elijah was successful in killing the prophets of Baal, Jezebel said to him in a very winsome, melodic voice, "I tell you this, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to get rid of him." Actually, Ahab, you should have done that a long time ago. You should have silenced him. You should have put him in a dungeon. You should have gotten rid of him. Now remember, Elijah had just come off of a victory, amen? Had just come from slaying 450 devils. And he got word that Jezebel was going to kill him. What did he do? He started to run. The second verse says, and he was what? Afraid. afraid. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been in bed at night, resting comfortably, and you hear that proverbial knock, bump, fall in the night, and you find yourself immediately wide awake, sitting in the bed, and then you turn on the light just to put some light on the situation. And you look over and you notice that, well, my wife didn't scare me. She's still there. She's still asleep. And I'm listening very intently to see exactly what that is. And I sit up straighter as to put myself in a quasi-running position. Oh, yeah, I'll run in a minute. And if there's not a door, I'll make one. Amen. I sit up, and it suddenly dawns on me that what frightened me was not anything other than the air conditioning coming on. It's terrible to be afraid. Terrible for someone to be talking with somebody or be in prayer or be reading something and someone comes up behind you and scares the wits out of you. That's what happened to Elijah. He was so afraid that he started to run. He started to run, and he ran so hard and so strong that his servant started out with him. And over a period of time, even the servant got tired, and he fell by the wayside, and Elijah kept running. And he ran upon what we call a juniper tree or a broom tree, sort of symbolic of what might look like a weeping willow with shade. Lord, just let me die. I'm no good to myself. Just let me die. And he fell asleep. Remember that this nation had no water. This nation had no food. The only thing that this nation had was the word of God. And there he slept under that juniper tree. But don't you know, my brothers and sisters, that God never leaves you out there to fight a battle by yourself? Amen. God never leaves you alone, never betrays you. Never circumvents his power that he gives to each of us. Elijah, sleep, ready to die, forgot about how good God had been to him. And he woke up, and there was a freshly baked cake by his side and a jar of water. Isn't God good? You got up this morning. Amen. George Corley told me one time, I was talking to him. I said, George, when George was sick, George says to me, I said, George, it's good to see you. He said, Ed, it's better to be viewed than seen. But he got up. There it was. A cake, a jar of water. He refreshed himself. And after he had eaten and was herbolically stuffed, he went to sleep a second time. That's sort of similar to what happens on Thanksgiving, isn't it? My mama cooks all that food. I eat and eat and eat until I am stuffed. Then I take a nap. And then I wake up again. Come on, help me. And I eat again. He ate so much, And he woke up that second time, and he started on a journey again for 40 days. 40 days he traveled from where he was to where God wanted him to be. 40 days he traveled. And he made his way to Mount Horeb. Amen. Come on now, somebody out there. Amen. Made his way to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Made his way there. And he found a little cave there, a little grotto there. And he got into that cave. Oh, I could just go into that cave and I'll just sleep my troubles away. I'll just stay there and wither and die. God already blessed me, already gave me the victory. I'll just get into this cave and just wither away. And then an angel said to Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I blessed you with a victory. I've built you up, and you let Jezebel, her words of anguish and antagonization, you let those words soak deep into the soil of your faith. What's wrong with you? Come out of your cave, rise up, and become the person Yahweh calls you to be. I must admit that once upon a time I was a cave dweller. Amen. I was locked up in my own self 4 years ago. I went into a cave after a health crisis. Thought never that I'd walk again. But guess what? I'm in the running position. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, praise God. Every now and then we have to recognize that all of us are cave dwellers. We got our stuff. If it's the cave of disappointment, could very well be the cave of illness, the cave of estrangement. We got our caves. I got a cave today. It's called my man cave. It's upstairs in my house. It's okay. It's pretty. You wouldn't want to go in there. But I got my own man cave, and every now and then my wife comes in. She just passes through. And she won't say out loud or very strongly, but I get the real hit that she's saying to me, I'm not coming up here anymore until you clean up. Amen. God didn't call us to be cave dwellers. He called us to be what? Kingdom people. People who have been set on fire by the power and presence of God. Kingdom people, that it doesn't really matter what comes along. Doesn't matter if you're up against the wall, if you're surrounded by disappointment, surrounded by a bad diagnosis, that God is able. God is able. Elijah, what are you doing here? Come out of there. He was psychologically drained, physiologically tired, sociologically alienated. But God says, come out of your cave. Experience what it means to be in the presence of God. Now I must admit to you, without reservation, that when you come out of your cave, there are three things that takes place. When you come out of your cave, you have a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that even in the midst of chaos, peace. Even in the midst of disillusionment, peace. Even in the midst of not feeling well or having a bad diagnosis of something, peace. The light comes on. We are embraced by that peace. That peace. That peace that gives us strength to run the race. That peace that gives us a song when we don't have a song to sing. Peace. When we're able to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That peace. That peace that enarmors me for the journey, that enarmors me when I'm tired and worn, that gives me peace, that peace. When things just aren't going right, it's peace that passes all understanding. And of course, when you come out of your cave, secondly, you come out with the assurance that I've got the confidence. I've got confidence. I've got confidence because I'm not going to physically, sociologically allow anything to break my spirit. Why? Because I trust and have confidence in God. Romans 8, somewhere 35 through 39, it says, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ Jesus. I've got confidence that remains unshaken. I've got confidence that death, nor principalities, nor sickness, nor grief, nor pain will separate me from that confidence God has instilled within each of us. And then finally, there is a faith. When you come out of your cave, there is a faith that is doable. Doable. All of us sometimes are gripped with the apprehension of something happening. But I can assure you this morning that the next time fear and death and sickness knocks on your door, the next time disappointment, grief, and pain knocks on your door, don't you answer. Send faith to answer. And when faith answers, lives are changed and you become glory filled. And I got 11 seconds. Did I make it? Hallelujah!